God doesn't want us running on empty, right? He doesn't even want us running on half a tank. God wants His people to be tankers for Him. Amen? Overflowers of His glory, of His grace. And so in order to overflow, you've got to abide, right? You've got to draw near and drink from Him till you are filled and overflowing in Him. To them that believe on Me, Jesus said, have faith, have confidence in Me, as the Scripture said, out of their belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. What was He speaking of? What are the rivers of living water? Amen. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. So God has given His Holy Spirit to those who believe. To those who believe. Do you believe that God is wanting to share His kingdom with you today? God wants you to be a partner with Him today. That God wants to fill your cup to overflowing today. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, we've got to pull the lid off, amen, in order to receive. We can't harden our hearts, amen. We can't put up any walls. We've got to make ourselves vulnerable to the Spirit of God because you can trust the Lord. We've all learned how to not trust Him in this world. But one person you can always trust, and that is Jesus. And you can make yourself vulnerable to Him and open up your heart and allow Him access to that part. Amen. Because who you are inside is who you will eventually become. Amen. On the outside too. God is transforming us from the inside out. The world is good at putting paint on things, you know, and presenting an image externally. But one thing man cannot do, and that is change his own heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God does that. Amen. As a matter of fact, in the new covenant, in salvation, when you are truly born again, what God does is He takes the old heart out of you and He gives you a new heart. Amen. Takes out that stony heart and He gives you a heart of flesh, as it says. So, and you become alive spiritually, and there's a crying out from your heart, that new heart that cries out, Abba, Father. You become a worshiper of God in spirit and in truth. It's no longer just formalism. Amen. It's about a relationship with the Lord. So today I wanted to share with you some thoughts about decision making, because decisions are very important, that we make right decisions. And in Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17, this is a New Living Translation. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So if we don't understand what the Lord wants us to do, then we will act what? Thoughtlessly or foolishly, right? So it's very important that we receive, amen, the instruction of God, that we are actually able to know His voice, to hear His voice, and to submit ourselves to His authority in our lives. So the question really is, and I don't know how many of you have had this happen. I bet every hand in here would go up if I asked. But how many of here have wondered, how do I know if I'm making a right decision? Yeah. I know some of you always make right decisions every time. But I mean, for the rest of us, we're kind of asking the question, Lord, how do I know if this is God or this is right for me? And how many here can be honest and say, I've made a lot of wrong choices in my life? I made the wrong decisions before, because sometimes I acted on an impulse or on an emotion that was fleeting. At the time, it felt good. And then later, I'm like, oh, that wasn't so good after all. And so God, first of all, created us for what purpose? Okay, yeah, for a relationship, right? God created us for a relationship. And not only a relationship with Him, but relationships with one another. God wants us to be in relationship. We are, even science has figured this out, we're social creatures. Amen? We do better. Amen? We run in packs sometimes. And unfortunately, sometimes the pack isn't heading in the right direction. Amen? But we need to get in God's army, amen, and keep in step with the Spirit of the Lord and commit ourselves to one another and to the will and the purpose of God, and we'll follow His lead, amen. So Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Then one of the scribes came And having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, to Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love what? Your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So simply said, Jesus said, this is what God wants. He wants, first of all, for us to love God and to love others. Amen? Love God, love people. So you don't have to go down a list of commandments, amen, and check off the box to the left to see if you've followed all those commandments. You simply walk in the Spirit, amen, because in the new covenant, God takes that law and writes it on the tablets of our hearts, if you will, by the Spirit. So the Spirit is the teacher, and the Spirit will tell us what is acceptable, amen, and what is acceptable behavior, how we should treat one another, amen. How many know that we are to respect all men? Amen? And there's a thing called honor. Amen? We're to honor God. Even to honor the king, those in authority over us. Doesn't mean we have to agree with them. But we honor because God places people in power. So first of all, before we're going to be able to make a right decision, we need to be able to know God's will. Would you say amen to that? So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us in our decision-making. In John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. So if a person is speaking on behalf of the Lord, they are to be speaking by the Spirit of the Lord, amen, and not on their own authority. If I step out and I speak something to you and I say, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord is not speaking, then I am speaking on my own authority, and my own authority carries no weight, no value. There's no influence. There's no transformation. There's no change, because only the Word of God transforms. Amen. The words that Jesus speaks are, they are spirit and they are life-giving. So what we need is to hear the voice of God by the Spirit of the Lord. And if you're in Christ today, you're born of His Spirit, then the Spirit of the Lord is the teacher within you. Amen. And we have to partner with Him and listen to His instruction and speak what He is speaking and do what He's doing. So there's a revealed will in the Scriptures. So we need to start, first of all, with what God has already made clear to us in the Word of God as to how should I make decisions that are right? It's something He's already shown us. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 is one. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. What is sanctification? It means to be set apart unto the Lord. And that you should abstain from sexual immorality. What is the will of God? To be set apart for God and to what? Avoid sexual immorality. That means sex outside of a marriage covenant. 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel. This is our body, amen, which is a vessel or the temple of the Holy Spirit, and sanctification and honor. Why honor? Because we're honoring God by our behaviors, amen? Either we're going to honor or dishonor the Lord. So 1 Peter 2:15, here's another one. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So God's will is that we are sanctified, that we keep ourselves from sexual immorality. This is a revealed will, amen? This is a known will. Amen? It's very clear. These are things that do not change. God's word is forever settled, amen? That we do good because we represent Him who is good. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we should be doing good. We should be, right, sanctified and behaving ourselves, amen, in this body, amen, because we honor the Lord by our behavior, amen, or we dishonor. So, and the third one was what? That we, in all things we give thanks. We should be thankful. Because when we become unthankful, we start to bellyache or complain. You know, sometimes some of the most thankful people and the people that appreciate things the most are people that have the least. Isn't that interesting? You begin to some places, foreign countries, even the poor in this country live better than many around the world. Amen? But some people are so poor, and yet if you come with just a small offering for them or a blessing of some kind, they are so appreciative. They're so thankful that you're willing to share with them. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you ever feel this way, but I think as Americans, we're spoiled. And we have to be careful because God has blessed us so abundantly. And God has blessed us. It's not something that we need to be ashamed of. Amen. And God's not into poverty, by the way. But God wants us to be careful that when we become wealthy or everything is going well, let's put it that way, in our lives, that we don't forget the Lord. That's why giving is so important. It keeps us in proper perspective. If you have, then be a giver, amen? Share what you have so you don't forget the Lord your God and everything, amen? Put God first. Prioritize the things of God above everything else. So God's revealed will is that we live a life, basically, that honors Him. Everybody understand that, right? And that we love Him and that we love others, that we walk in love. And then there's this other part of God's will, which is the mysterious will. And this is sometimes where we have some problem. Amen. It's the hidden will of God, where we want to know everything, don't we? We want to know exactly what God is doing all the time, every time. And God has mysteries. There's certain things that He does that are a mystery to us. And we wonder why the Lord allowed this or why He did things a certain way in our lives. And it's okay sometimes to ask God, Lord, why? Because sometimes God wants to reveal to you why. But other times, He's going to be silent on the matter. And that's when we have to trust Him and trust His heart and know that God is good, regardless of what may be going on in my life at the moment. It doesn't change who God is, that He is still good and He's always good. Amen. And if I'm going through a hard time, it doesn't mean that God stopped loving me or that God's not good anymore. It may be that God's trying to do something, do a work in my heart. Or it may be just an attack of the enemy that God wants you to rise up and counter, amen, and to take authority over and quit letting the devil beat you around, put you down, amen, put a gag in you and stick you in the corner. You got to open your mouth sometimes and give God praise when you don't feel like it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name. And after a while, you start feeling like it. After a while, you start enjoying it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When the Lord shows up, amen, and He changes the attitude of your heart, and even the atmosphere around you is shifted now, and the enemy says, let's get out of here. We've no longer got a target. We've no longer got an audience here. Let's get out of here. Because how many know that praise is toxic, right? To the devil. So we should be praising the Lord. But because He's God, He doesn't have to reveal to us everything. Can you say amen to that? Why He does it a certain way? But Romans 9:20 addresses this. He says, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to Him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Come on, we're not even in the same league. Amen. It's just like this chair right here. Okay, let's say I was a chair maker. I made this chair. And all of a sudden the chair speaks out and say, I didn't like the way you made me. Who are you? I just might take a hammer to you and give you a little attitude adjustment or reform you maybe. That's what God does sometimes. He has to reform us, right, in our thinking. But it would be ridiculous, wouldn't it, for the creation to speak out against the Creator. Come on. There's a lot of things in that God has put in motion in the cosmos, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, everything in its perfect orbit. God placed it there. He's a mighty God. He's an infinite God. Amen. And we're just this little speck of dust in the universe. And we're going to speak out against God. Why? That ain't fair. How many have said that one? How many know the cross wasn't fair? But it was for you and for me. So we see here in Joseph, here's a man that was given a great promise, wasn't he? That his brothers and even his parents would bow down to him one day. And out of jealousy, his brothers said, we're going to have to get rid of this dreamer. And they cast him into the pit. Amen. Sold him into slavery. He was betrayed by his brothers. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to make it really quick, but Joseph, things began to look good for him again. Hallelujah. Everything's going my way. And then all of a sudden, he gets falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife, remember, and what? Thrown back in the clinger. I wonder, you can only imagine, because it doesn't say what Joseph was really thinking. Except that we know that he maintained his course, didn't he? Even in the midst of all that. And it doesn't say that God had revealed to Joseph how he was going to be elevated by God or be exalted by God. He didn't say how you're going to arrive at this place of exaltation. And I think that if God had, maybe Joseph would have tried to do a Jonah and said, "Try, I think I'm going to go do something different here, because I don't want to face what's lying ahead." How many know that if God allows something in your life as a child of His, it's good for you? It may not be good in itself, but it will be good for you. Just like a cake, amen? All the ingredients, they go together. Amen? Sometimes you got to, you know what I'm talking about. If you take a spoonful of baking soda, man, that's just awesome. No, it's like, ah! But if you mix it together with the sugar and the flour and all the ingredients, you can have a nice cake, amen? Our lives are like that. There's a mixture of things that go on in our lives. Some of the things are bitter. Some of the things aren't pleasant. But God creates out of that. He'll give us beauty for ashes, you see. He'll create a beautiful expression of Himself through a life that has been formed by Him. Through all, even the adversities and the trials and the tribulations and the testings that go on in our lives. God always tests us, amen, because He wants a user-friendly individual. He wants to promote us, but He can't promote us if we're not able to handle the responsibility of that promotion. Amen? So we got to understand that things are going to happen. We're going to say, "Why, God?" Or we can say, "Okay, Lord, I don't understand all of what you're doing and why you're doing it, but I believe that you have a destiny for me. I believe that you've begun a good work in me and you're faithful to complete it. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to keep my hand to the plow. I'm not going to look back. I'm going to keep my eyes upon you, Lord. And wherever you lead me, that's where I'm going to follow. Because I know that you're good. Your heart is good to me. Amen. And you love me. And you have something good in store for me. You have a destiny for me. And I want to arrive at that destiny. Amen. I don't want anything to hinder or to interfere. Amen. With the will of God in my life." How many know you're going to face some giants? You're going to face some adversity. Amen. If you're deciding to commit yourself to do the will of God, it means this is where sometimes people get off the train. They just say, "Well, I don't know if I want all that." But Joseph went through all these things without probably realizing that God was actually getting ready to do something. Amen. That was way beyond anything maybe he even expected. He didn't know. He probably had some moments. I'm sure he was wondering, "God, have you forgotten me here? Why am I in jail? Why did this thing come upon me? Why the false accusation?" And you know, I'm wondering if Joseph couldn't have aborted even the plan of God by seeking revenge, becoming vengeful, or becoming even getting embittered. But God always has a plan for us, even though we may not see it at the time. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? Do you see everything that God is doing? No. But we trust Him, amen. He knows the product. He knows it works. He's bringing us somewhere. He's taking you through maybe a wilderness. He's taking you through some fiery trials because He wants to take you in to His promised rest. Genesis 45 and 5. "But now, do not therefore be grieved." This is Joseph speaking to his brothers after all this had happened and they were brought back into his presence. "Or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Wow. How many knew that God knew Joseph's brothers were going to betray him before at our before he faced it. And we need to learn from Joseph's example that God is in control of our destiny. You see, he didn't understand everything that was going on, I'm sure. But he trusted God through it. And God was faithful to accomplish what he had promised he was going to do in his life. And it was for the purpose of saving Israel, amen, that God had raised Joseph up. However, it came at a cost, didn't it? He had to go through some fiery trials. But then by the time he was exalted to that position, God had done a work in his heart, his character, so that he could handle it. Do you understand? In order to be something, we have to go through something. I know we all want to just sit back and eat popcorn and watch video games or whatever, or play video games, but that's not reality. That's not life. Amen. God has a plan, an eternal plan, a purpose. Amen. And the devil just wants to have you spend yourself foolishly, wasting your life away, the moments, the opportunities God gives us. Because God wants you and I to share in his glory and have an inheritance someday reserved in the heaven because we were willing to partner with Jesus and even bear his reproach in this world. As the world is not going to get you. They're not going to understand you. They're not going to like you. People of the world will hate you if you're following Jesus. But we have committed ourselves, amen, we put our hand to the plow. We're going forward. We're not looking back. We're not going to be like Lot's wife who looked back because her heart was still in the world. She was captured. She was tethered to the world. God says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. You will be my sons and my daughters. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Sometimes we can only understand God's mysterious will as we look back on the whole experience. How many times have we had to go back and look and say, wow, I didn't understand at the time, but having gone through it, and now I'm looking back and I'm seeing how God's hand was in my life. Isn't that the way it is? You can go back and you can see God was there. God was working there. At the time, I missed him sometimes. I didn't realize what was going on. And later on, and they say, well, hindsight is 50-50 or 20-20. 50-50 would be bad vision with it. Anyways, you like that, huh? Well, you like it when somebody else messes up, huh? I see how you are. Okay, yeah. God helps me to get over myself, by the way. Isn't that right? He helps all of us to get over ourselves. You know, I used to take everything so seriously, take myself so seriously. And now it's like I just relax in the Lord and say, hey, it's don't sweat the small stuff. Amen? How about Peter? Peter initially didn't see the cross as a part of God's plan for Jesus. He was presumptuous, wasn't he? He was looking at things from a natural perspective, a carnal mind. And Mark 8:32, he spoke this word Jesus had spoken, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Because Jesus was basically saying, I'm going to be crucified. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You see, Peter initially did not understand how could the cross be a good thing. Sometimes we look at it that way our own lives. We say, how can this be a good thing? Until we have 20/20 hindsight. And God shows us. And sometimes some of these things, some of these mysteries, we won't know until maybe later. But even then, we don't know because God is God. And he can do what he wants, when he wants, however he wants to, whoever he wants. And who's going to resist his will? He's sovereign God. He made the product. Amen. The product has no authority over him. You're not going to make God do anything. God's going to do what he determines to do. If you and I will get into agreement with his will, God will do that. If we hear his voice, if we're seeking counsel, we're seeking direction, we're asking God, Lord, help me with this decision here. I want to make right decisions. I made enough bad decisions in life. And one bad decision can point your ship in the wrong direction. Amen. Can really mess you up. Has anybody beside myself made a few wrong decisions that really have messed you up? Maybe some things that are still to this day They still plague you because you didn't listen to that voice. The voice of reason, the voice of truth, the voice of the Lord. And then later on, of course, Peter came to understand, didn't he, the meaning of the cross in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. But God knew what would happen. And his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. God is at work in all things that we know and all things that we don't know. God is at work even in the mysteries of life, working behind the scenes, as we say. God has doors that we don't know exist. I've been praying about certain things and wanting certain doors to open up, and I'm looking over here at this door, and all of a sudden God opens up another door. It was a side door that I didn't even know existed, and God showed me His way, and His way was superior to what I thought I wanted for me. And praise God, sometimes He does close doors because He's trying to protect us from going through the wrong door. And sometimes the enemy will also give you an opportunity too. It may seem like a good idea, an opportunity, an open door, and this is where we really need to seek the Lord and His counsel and say, God, is this of you? It looks good. But then there is a way that seems right unto a man. But in the end, it's the way of death. The enemy wants to distract and distort, amen, everything. Get us off track. Making wrong decisions, especially relationships. We've got to be so careful, don't we, with relationships. So God is at work. We're not able to see everything He does, but in Romans 8:19 it says, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are, the manifest sons of God." Romans 8:20, "And against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay." Aren't you glad that God's going to restore all things? There's not going to be any more sickness or pain. Amen. God's going to make everything beautiful. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day because right now, I don't know about you, but there's days when I really get sick and tired of this sin sick world that we live in. And I know that this world is not my home. Amen. Heaven is my home. Hallelujah. And how many know that God wants us to have heaven in our hearts? Amen. And God wants us to call heaven into the earth realm and change, amen, the situation around us. Not allow that to dictate to us, but we need to take authority, amen, wherever we are in our surroundings. We are to be the salt and the light. We are to be the influence in this world. We are not to be subject, amen, any longer to sin. Because in Christ we've been set free from the power of sin, so we can live a life that honors God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Resting in, trusting in, amen, the helper, the comforter, the paraclete, the one that walks alongside, and the one who's within us. So making right decisions requires wisdom, would you say amen? And really wisdom is the right application of knowledge. So God allows us to make our own choices. Now, He doesn't take that away. Some people say, "Oh God, none of me and all of you," or, you know, "none of my will and all of your will." Well, God actually gave you a will for a reason. He doesn't take that will away from you. He wants you to willingly submit your will to His will. And even in that, as a father, He gives you freedom of choice. And sometimes God will present to you several good choices at the same time. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe they're equally good. Sometimes God will present two equally good choices. And sometimes we're just kind of, well, which one is right? Which one is right? And sometimes it's just like God was dealing with Abraham and Lot. Remember, He's saying, well, you go ahead and choose Lot. However, Abraham made a wise decision that day, didn't he? Because Lot chose by appearance. And Abraham says, well, whatever you don't choose is what I'll receive. But that's where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And so it looked good, and he thought it was good, but later on that city would vex his soul, amen? And God would have to supernaturally deliver him out of that city because that city would be destroyed. But when he looked upon it, it looked beautiful. And he thought, oh, How many know we got to be careful? Not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that we see that looks good or sounds good is actually good for us. The will of God is always good for us. And so we need to be willing to say, Lord, I want to yield. And at times God will say, I want you to make the choice. I want you to make the decision. But we should choose everything according to what we know would please the Father. Amen? In Galatians 5:13, it says, for you have been called to live in freedom. Now, God wants us to walk this road with Him in partnership as a choice. Amen? God allows us to make our own choices. And He wants us to partner with Him. He's not controlling. But our freedom also comes with personal responsibility. I'm responsible for what I do in my body. God gave you and I charge of our body. Amen? So even though I have freedom, I have to be careful what I do with that freedom. He says, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So then what does the Father want? The Father wants us to grow and mature in the use of our freedom. He wants you to mature in the use of your freedom. A child has freedom. Amen? And you know what I'm talking about. The child can probably have access to that cookie jar. If there's a restraint on that cookie jar or padlock or something, he's not going to get into it. But sometimes that cookie jar can be a test of loyalty. You got to take that lock off, right? And say, give that child choice whether or not they will listen or obey their parents or not. There still has to be choice because love is a choice. Amen? If you love your wife, you don't cheat on it. If you love your husband, you don't cheat on him, right? It's a choice. God gives us that freedom to choose. But as we mature, a child doesn't understand that it's not okay. Amen? To get out into the car at 5 years old and try to drive it. Because the child is not responsible. Amen? The child is not mature enough to handle such responsibility. So, they still have a choice. Mom and Dad says, Johnny, not right now. Can I take the car? No, not right now, Johnny. Give it another 10 years or so. If Johnny decides, well, I don't like that rule. That doesn't make sense to me at my age, at my maturity level. What were they thinking? So he gets the keys and he gets into that car and he drives it into a pond. We had some neighbors that had that happen. One of their boys, they had like 8 kids. And one of the boys got a hold of the car. He put it in neutral or something and went down the hill right into a pond. Oh, that was bad. Fortunately, nobody got hurt. But, you know, he wasn't responsible. He was not mature enough to handle that. Amen. So God wants us to grow and mature in our handling of our own personal freedom so that we use our freedom in the right way to do good. Amen. To live right, because it's a choice we make to obey the Spirit or to obey our flesh nature. So he said, you've been called to live in freedom, Galatians 5:13, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. So how do I make right decisions? Okay, here's a few. Number one, as we already covered, begin with God's revealed will. Right here. There's wisdom in here, amen? Read the Proverbs. Very practical instruction in the Proverbs, amen? How to live your life. Start out with what God has already made clear to us in His Word. And if you don't take the time to learn the revealed will of God, amen? Well, then there's nobody's fault but yours. It's nobody's fault but yours, right? Because you decided not to learn, not to listen, not to figure out what pleases the Lord and what's right, what works in life. God knows what's best, doesn't He? So start out with the revealed word. That's His word. Love God, right? Love others. And seek Him first. Abide in Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you as an empowered witness. God wants us to be an expression of Him in this world. And then call on Him. Pray, right? For specific life's decisions. I know that if it's a big decision, I mean, if I'm going to go to Burger King and McDonald's, I got to fast and pray to figure out. No. But if you got to make a decision like that, you just say, I think I'm going to go. You think God's up there saying, nope, you should have gone to Burger King. No. He gives you freedom, right? You can just say, I think I'll go to. However, if you're constantly going to McDonald's, He's probably going to say, not a good idea. Take care of your temple. Come on, somebody. Now I have McDonald's calling me. Come after me. Send the men in black. So anyways, you know, we have choices to make. Petty things, little things in our daily life, you know. It's a good idea in all your ways to acknowledge Him in everything you do, to say, Lord, what should I do? You know, because sometimes you can avoid a problem or even a tragedy if you're listening to God's voice. Sometimes God is warning us. Has anybody beside myself knew that God was speaking to you about something, but your other passions and your emotions were engaged, and you're just being like, oh, I know, but I really want this. Speak to the hand. I don't want to listen. And so you go ahead and follow your own desire, and then later you say, man, why didn't I listen to God? I knew the Lord was telling me not to do this. I've been not much of a construction guy, but you know, I've done some construction work, and I can remember, like, sometimes I was getting tired one time. We were doing this building project, and we were taking scaffolding down, and I was swinging a hammer and knocking out these 2x4s, you know, taking it down like that. And my arms started getting really tired, you know. And I knew, it's like, actually, you know, hindsight is what, 50-50. So I knew that after a while, my hands get, and it was like the Lord is saying, you need to take a break. Just a few more. And so what happened is, I guess a week that I swung it, and that thing came out of my hand. And guess what? There was a brother just down below. Hit him right on the nose. Ouch. After surgery, he recovered fine, but no, he was okay. He had a little RES, of course. But that hammer went flying. But this is an example when sometimes the Lord is trying to tell us something and you're hearing it, but you're not exactly. I can tell you another time when I was getting really tired and I decided to do some electrical work. Okay. Yeah. And I was getting real tired work, like 12 hours or something. And I was really tired. And I'm just going, oh, no, just one more thing. And it's, you know how the Lord is saying, you need to take a break. You can get back to it tomorrow. So I'm here with a screwdriver. I'm taking that thing out. And I'm screwing it back in. I'm putting a little socket back in. Well, anyways, it slipped off. And guess what? It went right in. And that thing, I didn't have, of course, because I thought, nah, just this one. I don't want to run back and turn that breaker off. So, boom. And I mean, this thing just lit up like a Christmas tree. Go, boom. And the tip of that screwdriver came off and went right into my arm and embedded itself. And it went so deep, it like was level with my arm and cauterized, so I didn't bleed. But there's a hole to this day. I can show you the hole. You want to see it? Case in point, we need to be listening to God. We need to be paying attention to what God is saying. You will protect yourself from a lot of hardship. Amen. So, all right. Let me just say this too. Guys, be careful when you're making decisions about something that maybe you really want. And you are seeking counsel. So you go to your friends. And sometimes your friends, because they just like you and they want you to feel good on your decision, they go ahead and tell you, sounds like a great idea, because they just want to please you. And they're not really being honest about their feelings about what you're endeavoring to do. So you make a wrong decision based upon an emotional impulse, okay? Because you got bad advice from somebody that wasn't really being honest with their feelings about or how they really felt about the situation. Let me give you another scenario, too. Is we need to be very careful, and this happens, and I can tell you many times in ministry I've seen this happen where people are wanting to do something. They want to make a decision. And they're going to people and people that know the Lord and people that would be able to give them wise counsel. Amen. And over and over again, they're getting the answer that goes contrary to what they really were looking for. In other words, they're warning them against making that decision. And most of the people that love them and know them are saying, don't do it, it's a mistake. But they still decide, no, I really want this, and you're all wrong, I'm the only one right. And you do it, and then you're like kicking yourself because now I made a decision based upon maybe just an emotional impulse and not in truth, not according to the will of God. And I didn't listen to the counsel of God when God was actually speaking to me through others. And they were together, amen, in agreement that I needed to be listening to what God was saying. So when you seek counsel, be willing to receive the answer, amen, that God gives you, and don't discount what people tell you. But I do believe that one of the most important factors in decision making is the peace of God. Make sure you have peace, amen, in that decision. Pray about it. Don't just be casual in your prayer. Really seek the Lord about it and look for two or three witnesses, maybe others that can confirm that God is speaking to you. Whenever we've made a major decision in our lives, we've always been seeking the counsel of others and praying and getting a consensus that, yes, the Holy Spirit is speaking clearly here. When God told us to come back out here to Washington, I had confirmation. I knew God had spoken to me. He had made it clear to us. And 1 week, three different people that didn't consult one another had said the same words to us. But we had been seeking the Lord's counsel. And I didn't even ask them for their opinion. We were in a nursing home and we were managing this place. And I came into one room and she was 102 years old and she points her finger at me and says, have you heard this one before? She says, you don't belong here. We had left a church in New York, and we were doing this thing for about 4 years. Judy was off to college, and she says, you don't belong here. You belong in the ministry. Well, we were doing a ministry there, but it wasn't what God... Well, it was coming to a close, let's put it that way. And then the same week, it happened two other times, two different residents. I walk in. You know, you really shouldn't be here. You belong in the ministry. That's what they kept saying. And it's like, yes, Lord. And I'd already had this stirring in my heart, you know, that it was time something was, there was a change coming. But guys, do you understand that we have to be careful in our decision making because it can change the whole direction of your life. You know, the enemy wants to get you and I off course. And sometimes when we go through a hard time, it happens in churches. People had a little falling out with somebody, or they had a little disagreement or something. Somebody got their feelings hurt or their toe stepped on. And so, I'm leaving this place. And they stepped out of the will of God when maybe God was trying to produce something in them, such as the grace of forgiveness. Instead, we want to run away from our problems, and our people that are running around, they're offended. They're going from church to church. They can't find anything good about anything because they don't realize that the problem is them. It's not everybody else. It's me that needs the prayer. Do you understand? It's one decision we could just say out of an emotional moment. How many have made vows? I'll never. Oh, yes, you will. So ask yourself this question. Is my decision in line with God's will? Is it in line with what the Holy Spirit would do? Is my decision something the Lord would approve of? Very important, isn't it? Remember the old bracelets they were giving out about 20 years ago, what would Jesus do? Yeah, what would Jesus do? Another question you need to ask yourself is this. Is this something I'm gifted to do? Does this fit with how God has worked in my life in the past? See, a lot of times we can look back and see how God has worked and used us and know that those are some gifts and abilities that God has put within us that we're effective at because that's who we are. So there's other times when God's going to stretch you and move you into a something new, maybe, and different. And that's why we really need to seek the counsel of the Lord and to others that have been walking with the Lord that hear His voice, amen, that know His voice. And another question is God opening this door? Because not every open door is the will of God. Can you say amen? And again, like I said earlier, sometimes closed doors are God redirecting us. You know, and other times it may be the enemy trying to obstruct you. Well, as long as I felt good in church, it must be God's will. And you come one day and you had maybe just a bad experience or you just kind of left dry or I didn't get anything out of that. Well, you know, you start putting something into it, you'll start getting more out of it. Start investing, start giving, start sharing, start blessing others, amen? But anyways, the enemy works in all kinds of ways to try to get people discouraged. You know, he tries to discourage you. You know, you're doing really good and then something will happen and he's using that as a way to redirect you. To distract you away from where God wants you to be. You know, sometimes, guys, it's like working a job. I've worked for bosses. I'm almost through, by the way. I've worked for bosses that, especially in the Army, Carl, you know, you get placed where they put you. That's your boss. You don't say, I don't think I want to work this job. It's like, you're going to be there. There's your boss, and this is your assignment. Yeah. Do or die, don't question why, right? So you end up working for somebody, and you're like, oh, great. You know, and you want to get out of it. You wish you could relocate or just, you know, reassign yourself, but you can't. So what I discovered is, you know, God uses situations like that in our lives where we have no control over it. There's nothing we can do about it because He wants to do a work in us. Amen. So you're going to have to endure something to be something. You're going to have to go through something to be something. Amen. So do I have peace? About this decision after prayer, very important, isn't it? Once again, make sure that you're making right decisions based in truth and not on just your emotions. And most importantly of all, guys, will my decision benefit others and glorify God? Ask yourself, will this benefit others and glorify God? If the answer is no, it's not the will of God. Amen? Can I ask everybody just to bow your head and just for a moment, close your eyes even. I just want to be heart to heart with you. How many here really want to live out the will of God for your life? Amen. How many of you are willing to go all the way with Jesus? How many of you are willing to do everything He asks you to do? This is where it comes down to. Whether or not you're going to really fulfill your destiny is, are you willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God in your life on a daily basis? Are you going to be willing to deny yourself that you might take up your cross and follow Jesus? If you're here today and maybe you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and maybe you've just kind of been backslidden, you just have been out for a long time, but you're here today and say, I really want to recommit my life to the Lord. I want to commit myself once again to the Lord and to His way, to His service. Just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask us all to pray together and just lift our hands. Everybody, lift your hands to the Lord. I'm just going to lead us all in a prayer of recommitment today. And say, Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. That You shed Your blood for me. And that You rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, You said those who come to You, You would in no wise cast out. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to You and I give You my heart. I give You my life. I ask You to give me Your life. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and reveal to me Your will for my life. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.